A red letter N unfolds into a spectrum of colors.
A tally counter flips, forming the words, a Netflix comedy special. In August of 2021, Tom Segura embarked on his 21-month tour, I'm Coming Everywhere. 303 shows, 171 cities, 21 countries, over 700,000 guests. Footage of Tom Segura at his world tour is shown. A photo shows Tom laughing with Brad Pitt. A photo shows Tom and Jason Momoa backstage. A photo shows Tom greeting different packed audiences. A photo of Tom looking shocked is shown. Words appear. This show was from Phoenix, Arizona. Tom walks through an auditorium aisle, slapping hands with fans as he approaches the stage. Title, Tom Segura, Sledgehammer. Tom raises up his hands as he walks onto the round stage in the center of the audience.
Thank you very much. Thank you, everybody. Thank you. Please, take a seat. Thank you so much. Thanks for coming out. Yeah, man. We're here. Yeah. Well, let me ask you guys something, man. Are they gonna keep taking our Confederate statues down, or what?
Tom's eyes widen as he glances around the room. Tom shrugs.
I'm just taking the temperature of the room. I don't know who's here, you know?
Tom grimaces.
That's a weird one to start. All right. Yeah, I've been on this phenomenal tour, and I've met people that I've never thought I would meet in my life. Recently, I met a supermodel, which is wild, because, well, I don't think she wanted to meet me. I should be clear about that. I was in a fancy hotel in Toronto, and somebody that worked there, you know, they go to her, they're like, hey, he's a comedian. And she was like, okay. And then they go, she's a supermodel. I was like, I can see.
He raises his eyebrows.
And what struck me is that they are so much better looking than you think they're gonna be. Like, you know, you see in a magazine or on your phone and you're like, she's pretty. But in person, you're like, the fuck is happening right now? Like, and then you realize that it's a genetic freak. It is. If you are a supermodel, you are a freak. You are no different than a 7-foot-tall man. I don't know if you've ever met a 7-footer. I have. It is unsettling, all right? You go like, am I a child? What's happening?
Tom looks up.
This woman was so unbelievably good looking. Like 5 seconds into our conversation, I stopped speaking and listening, all right? I was looking at her like she was at the zoo. I was like...
Tom squints and cocks his head side to side.
I was like, let me see your ears. I was looking for flaws, you know? She was absolutely perfect. And then my next thought was, why can't my wife just drown, you know?
Tom looks out at the audience, resting his foot on a speaker. He shrugs and turns away.
She knows. I told her. She knows. She was like, you know I can swim, right? I was like, yeah, I know you can swim. Doesn't matter if you can swim. It matters if a jury believes you can swim. So...
Tom purses his lips with a guilty expression. He paces across the stage.
I have, I've been to unbelievable places because of this job. It's really crazy. I've seen amazing places. Been to Rome, Hong Kong, Machu Picchu, all because of this job. And then there's other days. Like I had to go to Topeka, Kansas to do a show. We went because they bought tickets, but we got the fuck out of there right away. There was something that's pretty cool though that happened there, which is that my show there was protested by the Westboro Baptist Church.
Tom holds up a hand, then salutes at the crowd. He shrugs.
Now, if you know them, sometimes they're in the news. And if you're like, oh, really? There's a church in the news? But why? Well, sometimes they also protest dead soldiers' funerals, cool shit like that. And I was backstage, and my tour manager came in the room. He goes, hey, the Westboro Baptist Church is here. I was like, to see the show? Really? And he was like, no. So they're protesting, and they were out front with their dumb fucking signs.
Tom holds the mic in both hands and mimes picketing.
They're homemade signs because they're poor.
Tom grins cheekily, raising his eyebrows.
They had signs made that said, Tom is a sinner. And I was like, yes.
Tom gives a thumbs up.
Cool. Then they had like real hateful signs too that said like, God hates gays, but didn't say gay.
Tom smirks sheepishly.
It was another word.
Tom turns his head from left to right, looking knowingly at the audience.
Your dad says it when the Cardinals lose, you know, like, All right, your uncle. Somebody says it. I took offense, not so much to the word as the implication that God hates gays. I don't think that's true. I think God has a people problem. There are too many people, and that is not gay people's fault.
He nods emphatically. Tom shrugs.
Because they butt fucked. Do I have to spell everything out for you guys? Like, Jesus. You can nut as hard as you want in somebody's ass over and over and over, and something will come out, but it's not a baby.
Tom grins.
I mean,
he shrugs awkwardly.
Still worth taking a picture of, I would argue. Maybe give it a name. It's not going to live long.
Tom throws his head back, laughing silently.
I'm not gay, but I am not above checking out a dude. I'm serious. Like, if I'm at the beach and there's some super fucking, like, just yoked dude there, I'll be like, hey, nice.
Tom nods.
Very nice. What's your protein intake like? What do you do? Cardio and lift? Of course. And then a hot chick will walk by and I'll go, get the fuck out of here. What are you doing?
Tom smiles and jerks his head up in a greeting, raising his eyebrows.
I think the gayest I ever was...
He purses his lips thoughtfully.
...was in February. That's when I did my shows in Los Angeles and Brad Pitt came to my show.
Tom leans back, looking shocked.
Look, I do not know what year he was born or how many infants he consumes in a week, but that man is stunning, all right? He came into my dressing room. I couldn't make eye contact. Do you understand? Like, I was like, hey, what's up, man? How you doing? He goes, look at me. I was like, no.
Tom stares shyly at the floor.
He goes, come on. I said, shut up.
Tom looks down, brushing his pants and straightening his jacket. Tom stares at the floor with interest.
He goes, you want to give me a kiss? I was like, yeah. And he goes, do it. I'm like, my God, I kiss. What?
He holds up a finger.
It wasn't gay. We took a bath later. That was gay, but... We talked about sports, so it balanced out, you know? I think you're lucky if in this life you have, like, one real friend. You know what I mean? Like, a true friend. I think I have four. Brad Pitt. I call him Pit Stop, because we're close. And just three other guys. You know, people that you know intimately. Like, you know, you know each other's secrets and stuff. Like, one of my friends, you know, I know that he hides... that he smokes weed from his wife. His name is Casey.
Tom grins.
One of my friends, he hides that he eats McDonald's from his wife because he's fat, and his name is Charlie.
He shrugs.
I guess they know now, but you know. But it's wild when you find out something new after knowing people that long, you know? I've known these guys like 25, 30 years, and I found out last week So 25 years into these friendships, that I'm the only one who eats ass in that entire group. Isn't that crazy to you? Like,
Tom raises his eyebrows, looking shocked.
I guess I'm friends with a bunch of third graders? I don't know, like... One of the guys is newly in love, too. Justin, newly in love. And usually newly in love people are really on board, you know, because everything's rainbows and butterflies for them. Like, every day, Justin's like, ha, ha, ha.
He closes his eyes, smiling.
I'm in love. I go, that's great. Did you eat her ass? And he's like, no. I says, you don't like her? And he was like, no, I do. And I said, no, you don't. If you did, you'd give her the sweetest kiss of all, you know?
Tom raises his eyebrows knowingly.
He goes, that's where she shits. I was like, yeah, don't do it then.
He smiles.
Wait a while, you know? Put her in a bath or something. That's what I did with Brad. Now...
Tom looks back coyly over his shoulder as he paces across the stage.
He goes, you're gross. I was like, whatever. And he said, that's what a dog does. And I said, excuse me? He goes, a dog licks its own ass. I said, first of all, if I could lick my own ass, I wouldn't be on tour, all right? I would do it until a doctor told me to stop. Like, he would have to sit me down and be like, you're not gonna have an ass pretty soon if you don't knock this off. I'd be like, well, it feels good.
Tom looks down sheepishly.
And he go, I don't trust you. I'm gonna put a cone around your neck. I'm like, what? I can take it off with my paws.
Okay. He throws his head back, laughing.
Sorry, that was very stupid. I'm sorry. Now, I wish my dad was still here, you know? He died a few months ago, and I understand it's part of life. You know, it happens to everybody. And, you know, I'd never visited somebody sick in the hospital. That was a new experience for me. And it's strange, if you've never done it, you get to the hospital, and then somebody that works there goes, are you here to see? And you go, yeah. And they go, yeah, they're going to die soon. And you're like, I thought so, too. That's why I came. And then they go, you can go in there and watch that now. And you're like, thanks. Personally, I feel like watching somebody die that you're not trying to kill is weird, you know? Like, it's different if you have somebody, you know, and you're like...
Tom mimes choking someone with his hand.
And they go, I'm dying. You're like, I know, I want you dead. That's why I'm doing this. But that probably feels good. I don't know. I'm assuming it's a euphoric feeling that you chase forever and ever. But ask Garth Brooks. He'll tell you all about it. So.
Tom paces around the stage.
Where are the bodies, G? Please. Connect the dots. Now, I will tell you this. I did have a great conversation with my father, and I hope if you're ever in that situation, you get it too. We had this great talk, and then he just drops this on me. He goes, you know what I've never told you? And I was like, no. What? And I was really hoping he was gonna say, you know, there's a treasure buried in the backyard. It's for you. I go, what have you never told me? And he goes, I like a full bush on a lady. And I was like, what? What?
He frowns in confusion.
He goes, your mother keeps trimming hers. I go, hey, what the fuck, man? I go, why are you telling me this? And he goes, who am I supposed to tell? I go, the Lord, you're about to meet him. And that was it. And then he said the N-word, and then he died. It was really sad.
Tom shrugs.
It was his last wish, all right? Yeah, Make-A-Wish was pissed. They were like, we don't do that. And I was like, well, maybe you should. I mean, if it was between saying that or meeting Tom Brady, I'd be like, fuck Tom Brady, I want to say it.
Tom grins and throws his head back.
What really sucks about losing a parent is when you have kids, because you want your parents to hang out with your kids, you know? Like, I have two boys. They're 6 and 3, and they are boys. Like, real he-hims, if you know what I'm saying.
He winks. Tom holds up a hand.
Don't worry, we asked them, all right? And they were like, definitely. And we're like, oh, it's up to you. Now,
Tom grins sheepishly.
Luckily, I have a cousin that lives near me, and he has two girls the same age, 6 and 3. So I get this wildly different experience up close and in person all the time. And these girls come over to my house. My God, what did I do wrong where I didn't get girls? These girls, they show up and they're like, hello, Uncle Tommy. I go, hello to you. And they go, where should we sit? I go, try one of the chairs. And they go, we would like to color. I go, please.
Tom squints his eyes and bows his head.
And then they sit down and they fucking color. An hour later, I can go into that room and they're like, mm-hmm.
He smiles happily and mimes coloring.
I go, that's nice. Where are my boys? Are they in the house? Are they on the house? Are they on? Oh, they're on the street. Fantastic. I go out there, I'm like, what the hell are you guys doing? And they're like, we broke all the crayons. And we put them in the mailbox. Like, oh.
Tom nods in resignation.
Thank you. Thanks for doing that.
He frowns.
My 6-year-old, he goes, what would you do if a bad guy took your stuff? I would ask him to give it back. I don't know. He goes, I would get a sword. I would cut him into pieces. And I put the pieces in the mailbox. I'm like,
Tom frowns, looking confused.
What are you doing with the mailbox, Dahmer? He goes, you know, Grandpa liked to fool Bush. I go, hey. Did he call you? How do you know that?
He shakes his head as he paces across the stage.
My kids call me Tom. So unnerving. Every day, the older one's like, how you doing, Tom? I go, hey, I'm not your fucking stepdad, all right? I wish I was. It'd be a lot easier, but I'm not. I go, call me Dad. He goes, I like Tom. I'm like, all right. What is up with your voice, dude? You smoke cigarettes? Why do you talk like that? The kid sounds like he fixes Harleys all day, but he's really just obsessed with the decades-old video game Pac-Man, and he has Pac-Man questions morning, noon, and night. He woke me up at 3 in the morning. Let's be clear, he doesn't know how to wake somebody up, all right? He stood an inch from my face.
Tom holds up a hand to his face.
The most menacing way somebody can wake you up, he just goes, hey, Tom! I was like, holy shit! What? He's like, what would happen if Pac-Man needed a house? I'm like, what?
He rolls his eyes.
He thinks I didn't understand the question. So he slows it down for me. He goes, what would happen if I go, he'd call a realtor. I'm having a heart attack, all right? Pac-Man would get a loan and buy a house. He's like, okay, I'm going to bed. I'm like, all right, I'll be up for 3 days. Thanks. At the same time, I have a monitor on the nightstand for the little guy, right? This dude stands up in bed, and he goes, "What was that?"
Tom looks up at the ceiling in exasperation.
So now I drag my ass into his room. He's standing there with his 3-year-old gut out. You know how they're all like...
He leans back and pushes his stomach out.
I'm like, what, do you own a Chevron? Why do you stand like that, dude? I go, what? He goes, what was that? I go, what was what? He goes, that. I go, what's that? He goes, what was that? I go, I don't know what the fuck you're asking. He goes, was that the choo-choo? I said, what? He goes, was it a choo-choo? He said it like, are you stupid enough to turn our trains on without the conductor at the helm? I go, no. He goes, so what was it? I go, I don't know. I said, maybe it was a choo-choo. And he goes, yeah, don't do that. And I was like, oh.
Tom takes a step back.
All right, Al-Qaeda boss, go back in your cave.
Tom paces slowly.
He's one of those kids that only laughs at real anger. I don't know if you've ever met one of those peaches, but... See, most 2- and 3-year-olds, they laugh at manufactured anger. Performative anger. You can go up to a kid that age and just go, rawr, and they're like, and this kid's like, mm-mm. I want to see your blood pressure spike, man. The hardest I've ever seen him laugh, it's not even close. It's when he flushed my car keys down the toilet.
He nods somberly.
It was my fault, I guess. I didn't hang them up. I put them on the coffee table that I also bought, and I was laying on the couch, you know, it was a long day. I see his little ass come in the room, see the keys, and he's like...
He looks up, grinning widely.
And I go, no, don't. And he picks them up, and he goes, chase me. Down the hall. I go, okay. I give him a head start. He's 3. When I stand up, I see him dip into the bathroom. I'm like, no. And when I get there, and I lose my shit. I don't yell at him. I'm just yelling at my life, you know? I'm like, fuck! No! Fuck! And when I turn, he's like, that's what I'm talking about.
Tom grins and waggles a finger emphatically.
You're a very funny guy. Fucking kicked him in the chest.
Tom kicks.
God, those little shits. I took a shower with the 6-year-old. He's 6, he's not 16. If you've never showered with a 6-year-old, let me give you some advice. Make sure it's yours. Otherwise... It's strange if you're like, what's your name?
He crouches down.
He's my son. And I wanted to, you know, I was trying to be like a fun dad. I offered him the shower head. I thought it was a fun, in the moment thing. I go, do you want to hold the shower head? And he was like, yeah. Give it to him. He just starts cleaning the shower.
Tom holds out the microphone and waves it, miming cleaning the shower.
So, you know, after a minute, I'm like, can you wet me? And he goes, Tom, relax. All right?
He purses his lips thoughtfully as he waves the mic.
And then he looks up at me. He goes, you have a big penis. And I have a small one.
Tom grimaces.
I go, well, that's because mine's hard, buddy.
Tom grins sheepishly.
We can make yours hard, too. Just gotta go like that.
Tom reaches down and jerks his pinched fingers back and forth. He looks out into the audience, shaking his head.
No. I did not jerk off my son.
Tom looks taken aback.
I just always wanted to say that.
He paces across the stage.
The truth is, he really did say, you have a big penis, and I have a small one. And what I really said, immediately, and I mean in a split second of him saying that, I went, no!
Tom pulls back, raising his eyebrows. He shrugs.
And if you're like, why did you shout no? I think because in that split second, I thought, I don't want this to be some shit you start saying when we're out.
Tom shrugs.
I don't want to be in a store with him where he's like, do you have a big penis? And I gotta be like, yeah. You know how it is. And the guy's like, I don't know how it is. What the fuck was that all about?
He rolls his eyes.
The worst part is that I scared him. When I shouted, that's a terrible feeling. You see fear register on your own kid's face because of your overreaction. And I wanted to say the right thing, or whatever the right thing is to say in that situation, which I suppose would have been something like, you know, you didn't do anything wrong. You made an observation. I shouldn't have shouted. I'm sorry. Do you need therapy? I love you, man. Like, you know. But it was all happening so quickly that I didn't know what to say. So the fucking best I could come up with, I went, no, just shh.
Tom closes his eyes and throws up his hands in exasperation.
Now he's totally confused. And he goes, you have a big penis.
He points at his chest.
I have a small one.
Tom rolls his eyes.
I go, well, don't fucking tell anybody. He goes, did Grandpa have a big penis? I go, I don't remember. I haven't seen it in a long time.
Tom cocks his head to the side.
Let's go ask Grandma. And we did.
He nods.
And he didn't.
Tom shakes his head. He holds up a hand.
For the record, neither do I. I want to make that perfectly clear to everybody here. I do not have a big penis, but next to a six-year-old...
He mimes having a large erection with his forearm.
I got a fucking sledgehammer on me. Pretty proud of it.
Tom sips from a water bottle.
You almost broke the fucking stage, dude. The truth is this, I'm happy to be doing stand-up again and actually standing, because not long ago, I had a sports-related injury. I don't know if you know this or not. Well, if you don't know, I will try to say this with a straight face. Tom, the guy you see standing up here, I was severely injured whilst participating in a slam dunk contest. On a slightly lowered rim. Now, it was wild. If you don't know, I tore my patellar tendon right there, which, you know, whatever. Happened to Clay Thompson, happened to me, it happens to us, but...
He places a hand on his chest.
I'm not Clay Thompson, so I also broke this arm. And it's all captured on video that I find very not funny, but a lot of people enjoy it. I have to tell people all the time, like, yeah, I didn't laugh a lot that night. And they're like, really? Yeah. There is one exchange that I do like to share, and it is this. Immediately after I was hurt, I was in the emergency room, and I was badly hurt. I had a shattered arm, a leg that didn't function, and they were prepping me for the operating room. And at that time, a trauma surgeon came into that room And he looked at my x-rays and he goes, car accident? And I got to lay there and go, dunk contest.
Tom looks down at the floor shyly.
He goes, what was that? What did you just say? And I go, slam motherfucking dunk contest. He goes, did a car hit you while you were dunking? I said, why don't you do your fucking job, all right? Some people don't know this. I was in the hospital for 3 weeks. That's a long time. And I don't think I would have made it through it if it weren't for my dear, dear friend, Dilaudid. Yeah, I did not realize that I have been fucking around with weed all these years when narcotics is where it's at, all right?
He gives a Shaka sign.
That shit is electric. And if anybody ever offers you an Oxy, say, hit me 2 times, because they're amazing and nothing bad will happen to you.
Tom grins.
Nah, your life will fall apart, but it'll feel good while it's happening. The only downside, really, is that you'll never shit again. I took my first shit 8 days after I started eating those. I was scared. I called in the doctor. I was like, hey, man, I have an arm that doesn't work, a leg that doesn't work. How do I lean? How do I wipe myself? He goes, don't worry about it. One of the nurses will do it. And I was like, okay.
He looks down.
And then a fucking male nurse came in the room.
Tom fidgets with the mic cord.
They're allowed to have the job too. And
he looks up, smiling.
This dude stood at the door and threw a pack of wipes.
Tom points down.
I go, what's that? He said, the doctor said you need to clean yourself. And I went,
Tom shakes his head and points forward.
You're gonna do it. And I saw a grown professional nurse just go, oh, fuck. Like, he quit. I saw him quit his job. Isn't that crazy? Now, 5 days later, I had my second movement, and they sent in an old lady nurse, which is fine. But she talked the whole time. You know how terrible, you're all vulnerable. I was like, huh?
He clutches his stomach.
And she's back there. She's like, how are we gonna clean up all this stool? I'm like, I don't know. Shut up.
Tom bends forward, clutching his stomach.
And she goes, my, my, my. You have so much hair back here. And I'm like.
He throws up his hands.
Yeah, I do it for my dad. You know?
Tom looks at the ceiling and points upward.
I like to picture him up in heaven looking down, you know? Look at that hair on my son, isn't that nice? And God's with him, that is nice. I picture my dad naked, you know? I picture everybody in heaven naked. I don't think you're in heaven like, what shirt should I wear today? I think people are naked. I think God's naked. I think after a while it makes sense that my father would notice that God has a fucking peace on him, you know? It's God. I think it's enormous and glorious. I think it's blue. And I think it has a golden hue around it. I think after a while, my dad would go, you know, can I touch that? And God's like, of course. You are one of my children.
Tom reaches out and mimes stroking with a finger. He opens his palm and mimes copping a feel.
And he goes, thanks, that was neat. And then God says, do you want to see it snow?
Oh. He mimes jerking off.
That's what snow is, you didn't know that?
Tom sticks out his tongue.
Snowing. Good, I hope I ruin snow for you. Now, it took me 6 months of pretty intense rehab, PT and OT. Shout out to all the PTs and OTs in the world out there working with people. Fantastic. Well, they worked with me so that I could move around again normally and naturally. And then this always gets me, you guys, 7 months to the day. To the day after I was injured. I was at home, I was asleep. It was 2 o'clock in the morning, and I heard my wife scream, but like a real scream, you know, like, ah! So I took a pillow, I turned, and I covered this ear, right?
He holds a fist to his ear.
I'm trying to sleep. And then she starts calling me out by name. She's like, Tom, Tom. And I go, God damn it. This sounds real. So I got up, I made myself something to eat.
Tom smiles sheepishly and raises his eyebrows.
Poured a drink, and I was like, all right, let's go find her. Now it's 2 a.m., I can't see anything. I'm just following her cries for help, and I finally find her sitting at the bottom of the stairs, and I go, what are you doing? And she goes, I think I sprained my ankle. I turn the light on and I see that the bone that should be like this is like that.
He flicks his hand to the side.
And I go, that is not a sprain.
Tom smiles and nods.
I'm sure of it. And she goes, what should I do? I said, you should do nothing. I will call 911. I have to confess, I was very, very excited to call 911. Have you ever been excited to call where you're like, finally, a good one, you know, like, this is why we play the game. I call, the operator goes 911, and I'm so amped up, I go, get fucking ready.
Tom frowns, looking surprised. He shakes his head.
He's like, okay. He goes, you need police, fire, or paramedic? I go, paramedic, but send them all. He was like, what happened? And I was like, ooh. And I realize that while what I'm about to say is true, it sounds suspicious.
Tom grimaces, raising his eyebrows.
But I gotta say it. So I'm like, my wife fell down the stairs.
Tom scrunches up his face and looks down. He straightens up.
And the operator goes, uh-huh. He goes, how'd that happen? And I was like, I don't fucking know. He goes, was she alone? I'm like, do I need to talk to a lawyer? 4 paramedics show up. I open the door and they go, what happened? I go, you know the deal. My wife fell down the stairs. And they go, how did it happen? I go, I do not know. They're like, was she alone? I go, talk to my lawyer. He's on the phone right now inside. You know? Then they start tending to her. Like they put her leg in a brace. You know, they start giving her an IV. I lean over to her and I have a private conversation, as you sometimes do. I go, hey, I want to tell you something. I don't like the way I'm being spoken to here.
Tom leans down, a wide smile on his face.
I feel like everybody's implying I had something to do with this, and I don't like it. And then I walked away. And a few moments later, she decided to make an announcement.
He frowns.
Unprompted. She goes, guys, and they all turn, and she goes, he would never hurt me. And I'm like,
Tom widens his eyes and looks around.
What are you doing? She goes, we've been together a long time. And if you think he did this, he didn't. I go, shut the fuck up. Or I will kill you.
Tom smiles, then his face turns severe.
Then we get to the hospital, and the doctor's like, what happened? I go, I punched her in the mouth, and she fell down the stairs. And he goes, I get it, man, I get it. She's super chatty. I go, I know. You should see her at home. No, she's doing better now. She learns, she gets it, you know? Sandwich at 6. All right, so.
He suppresses a laugh.
She came to a show and she saw me tell that story and she was like, can you imagine if you had hit me? And I was like, yeah. Don't feel bad for her, okay? I'm serious. I just did her a huge solid. She asked me to do this, and I did it. She asked me to get a vasectomy, and I did it. So I got snipped, yeah. See? The women always cheer, and there's always one guy that boos. Like he wanted my full load all up inside of him.
Tom paces across the stage.
Listen, if you're a guy and you're thinking about doing it, do it. It's a routine procedure. You will be nervous the morning of. It's your balls. When you lay on a table, it's very cold. It's like 400 below zero, and they pull up your dress very dramatically. They're like, what's going on down here?
Tom pulls at his shirt.
And your dick just stares at you like, how could you, you know? But it's over in 15 minutes, which I think is remarkable. And then you go back a week later for the follow-up. And the follow-up is just a urologist checking you out. And he goes, all right, drop your shorts, you know? And he's like, all right,
Tom mimes playing with balls. He waggles his tongue.
He goes, yeah, it tastes the same, you know?
Tom smiles as he paces across the stage.
And he says, I'm going to give you your homework. Those are his words. I'm going to give you your homework. I go, what's my homework? He goes, go home, ejaculate 20 times, bring in your 21st sample in this cup, and we'll test it and let you know if you're cleared. And I was like, that ain't shit, you know? I do my homework all the time, baby. So he goes to leave. But he stops at the door and he goes, oh, I almost forgot to tell you. Take your time. And I said, I was gonna. And then he says, sometimes I forget to tell people, which tells me that some people have returned rather quickly with their assignment. So I immediately ask him, I go, hey, what's the fastest anyone's done 20 ejaculations? He goes, 48 hours. And I was like, well, that motherfucker can keep that record. I don't want anything to do with that.
Tom shakes his head.
That's the champ champ right there. I went home and took another week off. I was black and blue. I was sore. I was like, all right, you know, but after the week, I was like, it's time to get going. I started slowly, you know, I was like.
Tom flaps his hand by his crotch.
Wake up. Didn't feel the same. It was strange, different, you know? I could feel the system turning on. You know what it reminded me of? You know when you run the heat for the first time in the winter, and you're like, this smells weird, man. Like,
he looks disgusted.
I could feel it building up, and I could not get this one intrusive thought out of my head, which was, it's just gonna be blood that comes out. I didn't want it to be. I just kept thinking it. So now I'm jerking off all scared. I was like.
Tom mimes jerking off, looking frightened.
It's gonna be blood.
He moves his fist slowly.
But I pushed through, I kept going. And when it finally did go, it wasn't blood. And in relief, I laughed. So my first jack back was me going.
Tom mimes jerking off.
Yeah. So. Instagram took it down, but it's on my OnlyFans if you want to see it. It's $6 a month. Now, the only thing I could deal with that specific type of pain when I had the vasectomy was eating edibles, you know? I had to eat edibles every day for that achy, weird pain. Yeah, I always feel like I have to confess to people immediately when I tell them like that I like edibles, and that is because I am a lightweight, and I like mild edibles. Some people want to eat edibles, you know, yeah, and some people want to peek into the third dimension casually every day. It's not me, all right? I like 5 and 10 milligrams, and people, sure. People mock me and they call me 10 milligram Tom and this bullshit. Yell it to me on the street. They're like, are you eating your baby edibles? And I go, yes, because I like to be able to speak. Is that crazy to you? You don't know people that like a couple beers? Is it always, I like to drink 36. Okay, good for you, Bert. Have a great night. So.
Tom paces across the stage, then stops and faces the audience. He walks jauntily and waves.
I'm the mechanic, or whatever. Yeah.
Okay. Tom raises an eyebrow.
Well, we forgot how the story goes. Tell it again. Now.
He throws his head back, grinning.
That's my bestie. Speaking of friends, you never, I want to make this clear. If you drink, if you smoke, if you inject things into your eyeballs, you never have to worry about strangers. Never push the myth that a stranger might be culpable in getting you fucked up. People say it and they'll be like, what if a stranger spikes my drink? What if a stranger hands me a joint and it's laced? Guess what? It'll never be a stranger. It'll be one of your friends, okay? Your friends will fuck you the hardest. I know this firsthand. I have a bunch of really cool friends. I found out on this tour that one of my friends was in the same city as I was in on the same night. Very rare in this line of work. I was in Miami. I find this out, I cancel our dinner plans. I drive across town, I walk into this club, and I see my good friend. Some of you know him, he's a comedian and a podcaster. His name is Joey Diaz. Now,
Tom bows his head affirmatively.
If you're here and you don't know who that is, please allow me to describe him to you.
He smiles.
Joey is a very funny man. He's a comedian. He's 60 years old. He's a Cuban immigrant. He weighs 295. And he sort of looks like if somebody was making a person and then they left him under a heat lamp for like 15 minutes.
Tom mimes picking up a person and looks shocked as he puts him down.
As a side note, I feel like I should point out he was addicted to cocaine and heroin for 20 years. I think that's relevant to the story. Now, Joey's very affectionate. So I get to this place and he gives me a great big hug. And the first thing he says to me, he goes, I got you something. I go, you got me something? What did you get me? He goes, I know you like your tens, your 10 milli Tom. I got you some tens. And I go, no, you didn't. And he goes, I did. I go, no, you didn't. He goes, why are you saying that? I go, because you're a liar and you're a bad person. You're lying right now. He goes, no, I'm not. I go, sure you are. And he has a jar and he pours 5 gel caps into his hand. He goes, these are tens. And I go, bullshit. And then he goes, oh.
He mimes taking pills.
Eats all 5 like they're Skittles. So then I go, huh, maybe they are tens.
Tom grins and shakes his head.
I said, I would like 1. I put it on my tongue. I take a sip of water. As it goes down, I look at him. He goes, oh.
Tom throws his hands up and looks at the ceiling.
I go, how much did I just take? And he goes, 10. And he just walks out of the room. Now I'm watching them perform. You know, 30 minutes in, I have a buzz. When the show's over, I am out of my goddamn mind. I am vibrating like a tuning fork, all right? I'm like, wow, 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 wow. I can't open my eyes. I'm like...
He smiles with his eyes closed and waves a hand in front of him.
I have to put my hand on a man's shoulder to guide me across a room. I'm like...
Tom holds out his arm and walks slowly with his eyes closed.
I go, Joey, we gotta get the fuck out of here. And we do. Do you know where we go? To the airport. Yay! Let's have a panic attack in a tube in the sky. I'm walking through Miami International Airport, freaking people the fuck out, all right? You know why? I forget how to walk. I forget how to walk. I can't figure out the fucking body scanner thing. I'm like,
He takes an awkward step forward. Tom closes his eyes.
Can you hear my heartbeat too?
He shakes his head and takes more jerky steps.
I'm sweating, but I'm cold, you know? Asking everyone for blankets. I'm like, do you have a blanket? I want a blanket! And they're like, you're on the toilet, man. Get the fuck out of here, okay?
Tom rolls his eyes.
I pass out in a meditative state on this flight. I do, and then I just wake up scared. You ever wake up just terrified? Like, I sit up and I'm like, why am I a bad person? And I do something I've never done. A flight attendant passes down the aisle, and as she passes, I grab her arm hard. Like I'm gonna put it on my dick. Like I grab it.
He mimes grabbing.
And she's stunned, so she goes, And I'm so fucked up, I go, wait, how come? Do you know?
Tom's expression becomes deadpan and he glances around.
Why are we alive? And she's like, what? What? Now, luckily, I have a decent friend with me, Sean, and he interjects, and he goes, oh, he took an Ambien. And she's like, okay. And she just keeps going down the aisle.
Tom shrugs.
Now he's worried about me, so he wakes Joey up. He goes, Joey! And Joey's like, what? He goes, what did you give Tom? He goes, I gave him 200 milligrams. Dipped in hash oil. And I go, why did you do that to me?
Tom looks distressed.
He goes, you're gonna see the devil now, bitch.
He raises his eyebrows, his eyes wide.
I go, I think I'm fucking looking at him. And let's rewind, by the way. He took 5. He's on 1,000 milligrams. He's like, what are you doing tomorrow? I'm going to the hospital tomorrow. What are you doing tomorrow? Psycho. Well, listen to me. If you have never been surprise megadosed, it is horrific. It is a harrowing, panic-induced terror ride. And so a few weeks ago, I did it to my mother.
Tom smiles sheepishly.
I did. I was visiting her. She's alone. She knows I eat them at night. I've told her for a while they help me sleep, which they do. And she calls them gummies. So she comes up to me and she's like, are you going to have a gummy tonight? And I go, yes. She goes, may I have one? And I was like, yeah. I give her one because I take one. And one gets me high, so I'm like, this is gonna peel back her wig, you know? I sit around with her for a couple hours, and then I ask her, I go, how do you feel? She goes, I feel nothing.
Tom frowns.
Like, really? She goes, yes. I go, all right, well, I don't know. Go to bed, you fucking savage. I don't know what to tell you. The next day, it's evening, and she comes up to me again. May I have another gummy tonight? I go, you had one yesterday, and you didn't feel anything. She goes, maybe I should take 2. Maybe you should. I give her two, we hang out, and again, I ask her, how do you feel? She goes, I feel nothing. I'm like, really? She goes, should I take two more? I said, hey, Pablo, you might want to keep it in first for a minute. She goes, you don't think so? I go, actually, I do think so. Here you go. Here's two more. I give it to her. She eats them, and then she says, I'm going to bed. I go, all right. She goes to her room. I go to the guest room. A few minutes later, I receive a series of text messages that I have since memorized.
Tom grins.
The first one says, Tommy, I am fizzing. F-I-Z-Z-I-N-G. So I write back, sounds cool. Because who the fuck do you know is like, I'm fizzing right now, man, you know.
He hunches his shoulders and does a little pop and lock dance with his arms.
We out here fizzing tonight, baby. I don't know what that is. She writes back, my heart rate is 125. Oh, I am spinning. So I write, LOL. I think she's having fun. And then she writes, please come now. I don't feel well.
Tom grimaces.
I go into her room, and my mother is seated upright. That is an alarming look for an elderly woman. Most of them lay down or lean. She's just in bed like.
He squats down with his head up.
I go, are you okay? And she goes, no. So I take her out to the patio. I'm thinking fresh air, you know? It's clear immediately that we are in for a ride. The first thing she does, she goes, my lips, they are stuck together.
Tom throws his head back, grinning.
I go, I'll get you some water. And she goes, why am I hungry? I said, because it's working. And she goes, the dog was here. The dog is gone. And I go, oh, my God. I start to laugh so destructively hard. It is not ha, ha, ha. It is a deep, primal. I'm watching my 77-year-old mother get high. I'm not laughing. My nervous system is shutting down, all right? I mean, I'm watching her look at sounds. You know, she's like.
He jerks his head side to side, then up and down.
It hurts. It hurts how hard As I'm laughing, I look at her. And at one moment, her face contorts. Her face goes.
Tom contorts his face.
And she looks at me. And she goes, tomorrow, your laughter will be tears on my corpse. And I'm like.
Tom looks shocked.
What? She goes, it's the perfect murder. Nobody will know it was you. My lungs invert at this point, and I have tears streaming down my face. She's so high, she thinks my laughter is confirming her thoughts. She starts to legit plead for her life. She goes, Tommy, please, please, don't kill me. I am your mother. I fucking pass out in a chair. I'm like, ugh.
Tom sags forward. He rises up slowly. Tom holds his hands out, looking confused.
I wake up, I don't even know where the fuck I am. It's morning. I walk into the kitchen at the same time as her. I go, hey, Mom. And she doesn't say anything. I'm like, oh, shit. She just walks over to the coffee maker, and she goes, I know you tried to kill me last night.
He looks down.
It was very clever.
He turns around swiftly.
But I am still here, Tommy. I go, I didn't try to kill you. And she goes, oh, yes, June did. So I leave for the day. I come back later. I go, look, I owe you an apology. I should not have let you eat that much. I'm sorry. And she goes, it's okay. I forgive you. I'm like, really? Thank you. That makes me feel better. She goes, I just want to tell you one thing. And I go, what? She goes, I want another gummy tonight. And I go, what? She eats them every day now. She's doing coke. She grew her bush out. She's fucking the neighbors. She's living her best life. If you ever meet her, give her drugs. Thank you guys very much for coming out. Have a great night.
Audio description provided by Roundabout Entertainment. Voiced by Mike DeBonis. Written and performed by Tom Segura. Executive producers, Tom Segura, John Irwin. Directed by Ryan Polito. Producer, Kathy Welch. Tour producer, Dave Oaken. Director of photography, Jay Lafayette. Lighting designer, Samuel Barker. Production designer, J.P. Connolly. Editor, Sean Hubert. Associate director, John Irwin. Stage manager, Ken Cooper. Production designer, Melissa Marengo. Art director, Sarah Jane Coughlin. Additional credits roll. Dedicated to Thomas Nadeau Segura, a.k.a. Top Dog. Copyright 2023 Netflix. A black line draws a door that closes.
I left a wallet there.
YMH Studios. Gleaming silver letters appear against black. Irwin Entertainment.
A red letter N unfolds into a spectrum of colors.